Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. Just welcome, folks. Welcome to our, welcome to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Just a great big thank you for tuning in to our show tonight. Thank you for listening. Thank you for so much for your belief and trust in us as we walk through this minefield of current events together. Well, let me just start out by saying this. If anyone out there does not believe that Donald J. Trump was wiretapped or surveilled electronically, raise your hands. Yeah. I thought not. No, folks, I have absolutely no question in my mind that Donald Trump was, surveillance was conducted under Donald J. Trump or of Donald J. Trump. And, he was under surveillance. I believe that James Clapper. I think it's sufficient in my view anyway, or I think it's been proven that James Clapper, the former DNI, lied under oath on March 12, 2013 to Senator Wyden, I have no doubt in my mind that Clapper lied under oath. When he's testified, to Senator Wyden under direct questioning that really no one was under electronic surveillance by the NSA or other agencies. Right? I mean, that's essentially what he said, unless, of course, subjected to a FISA warrant. Just so people understand, FISA is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It was started in 1978, legislation 1979. It began between 1979 and 2015. There were 38,169 FISA warrants. Any guesses to FISA warrant applications? That is 38,169. Anyone want to guess how many of those warrant applications were rejected? Show of hands. Okay, third from the right there. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Under 15. 12, actually, were rejected in the course of, what, 35 years? Oh, 36 years. We know that in June, it was June, there was a FISA warrant application that focused on Donald Trump. In fact, it named him as one of the targets, intended targets, that was denied. Was that one of the 12? No. Because the statistics were through 2015. Good catch. So you're paying attention. A FISA warrant was reissued on or about October 15th. Much more narrow in scope. And subsequently approved, but reportedly did involve or otherwise cover the server or the electronic devices. Now, I'm getting information from sources inside the Beltway that are different than what's in the print media or in the alternative media, I suppose, and certainly not in the corporate media that one or more of the electronic devices, and that includes but not limited to the server, but also telephone equipment as well, were under this particular warrant. Two banks in question, two Russian banks, Alpha Bank and SB Bank. Russian banks were the intended target for the second warrant. A couple of other things here real quick as well. When you look at the headlines and you look at what's taking place here, you're seeing this great overreach by the deep state. And I'm going to be doing a report on this, folks, because I've got so much information. You're seeing this overreach by the deep state. It has become an adversary of President Donald J. Trump and an adversary to the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America and an adversary of every person listening to this broadcast. You've got the Progressive Party, who is an adversaries of freedom in every person within the United States, in the United States. Just to be clear as well, the man sitting in the Oval Office, past and present, can order wiretap surveillance without going through FISA. All that person has to do is file a certification with the Attorney General. That the wiretap or the surveillance relates to national security. But here's the kicker. No one can read that. That application, no one can read it. So, I just want to put out the warning right now. The last thing in the world the deep state wants, I believe, the true powers behind the faces in Washington, D.C., the last thing that they want is a congressional investigation into the actions of the intelligence community. But I do believe that's what's going to happen. And I believe that will place Donald J. Trump in peril. I think he's already in peril right now. Sadly. You know, for all of the talk, by the way, Russian Ambassador Kislyak, just as a kind of a, oh, I don't know, just a little bit of trivia. He visited the White House 22 times, the Obama White House 22 times. Yeah, I know it's different. I know it. I know, under different circumstances. Just saying, however. excuse me. But we're looking at a very serious situation here. I believe, and I wrote a column Sunday, and it appeared in Canada Free Press. You can comment on it. I don't know if it's aged off or not, but this is as serious as it gets, and I do believe that this is the end game, one of the end games, with respect to what's taking place. I don't see this turning out well. I will also mention as well, and I'm looking through some notes I took today. The executive order 12333 is something that everyone should be aware of. That sets the tone for the, or that sets the stage for the wire, for the surveillance. And this goes on and on and on. The media, the intelligence community, the 16 known intelligence agencies, I say known because I'm sure there are more, they're playing a word game, a linguistics game. And it's to entrap and to take out Donald Trump. And I do believe that Obama going to the FISA court twice, or when I say Obama, not personally, his regime going twice to the FISA court, once in June and once in October, was done in conjunction with and even at the behest of the Clintons. That's nowhere to be found, but my research tells me that. I think the Clintons are going to pop into this. But anyway, these are just some of the things we're working on, as well as the Vault 7 release today. 8,761 documents that span 2013 to 2017. Out of those 8,761 documents, there are 7,818 web pages and 943 attachments. There were also 70,875 redactions of email and IP addresses within those documents until they become further studied. We're going to be having more on this as well. But they speak, I believe that they speak for themselves. And I think that those people who said, you know, Michael Hastings, the accident of Michael Hastings, oh, it's ridiculous to think that they could take over a car and smash it into a tree or whatever. Well, there's your proof. You got your proof. TV spying on you? You got your proof. You want to call us conspiracy nuts and kooks and theorists? There's your proof. Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of very interesting developments from the Vault 7 release, as well as the wiretap information. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. We are joined by T.L. Davis this hour. He is with us now. He is a filmmaker. And we're going to...
Hold on a second. I just got an email here. Look. I am not taking Donald Trump to task. Somebody said you're giving... Donald Trump is much smarter than you give him credit for. What in the hell are you talking about? Okay? Yeah, I'm talking to you, this emailer.
Because you said he's in trouble?
Well, yeah.
And
well, Kennedy was intelligent too, wasn't he? Until the bullet blasted the back of his head off. I'm trying to warn people out there that Donald Trump is a target, as we all are. Go on.
All right, T.L. Davis is our guest. He's a filmmaker. His website is christianmercenary.com. And Mr. Davis, welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. I know this is your first time on the show.
We're going to be
playing Mr. Davis's movie trailer after we come back from the break.
And I didn't mean to yell in your ear.
Yes, he did. Mr. Davis, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been working on?
Aside from writing, I've written blogs for about the past 15 years or so, and I got involved really with, you know, I mean, it started with the, I always forget this, the economic collapse basically really, it started way before that, but that's what really got me into blogging and getting online with a lot of the other big voices in the community, where I learned a lot of stuff, facts and things that you wouldn't know. And so, you know, for the past, I mean, it started back in the Bush administration. They always try to label everybody as, well, the only reason you got activated was because of Barack Obama. And everybody I know in this movement had been involved, trying to safeguard their liberty for themselves and their posterity for 10 years before Obama came in. I mean, it started back, if you want to go back, it probably started, people really started paying attention at Ruby Ridge, you know? So, I mean, that's how long this deep state idea has been going on. And having listened to all of these very influential voices,
Mr. Davis, I generally don't like to interrupt, but I just want to say, in our view, the deep state's been going on since the inception of the CIA back in 1947. And feel free to, you know, let it loose, because we don't hold back here. And I know that you're being circumspect. But you know, the Dulles brothers, establishment of the CIA.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a shadow government ever since then. And I know you know that.
Well,
I've read your stuff and stuff. So don't feel like you're going to hold back.
Well, actually, I think that's very interesting, because I've been working on a screenplay for a long time, and it's called Banana Republic, and it centers around the Guatemalan overthrow in 1953, and Iran before that. And so, I mean, that is how long, I don't know how far back you can go, but I do know that in the early 50s, with after World War II, when they sort of created the CIA out of the OSS, this has been part of the way that they operate. And so, and the Dulles brothers, you're right, they're, you know, one was Secretary of State and the other one was CIA, and those guys were playing, you know, chess all across the globe and pretty much having a free hand doing whatever they wanted. And that was kind of my focus in writing a screenplay about Guatemala was, you have a because they took some land, you all of a sudden you have the CIA down there and just casually overthrowing the government of Guatemala. And they've never been, I think they're a little bit more stable now, but they weren't stable for 20 years after that, or more. So.
Yeah, that's a business of the CIA. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, that's what they do. And what I'm, I guess what I'm trying to say is we're not any different. It might have been a little bit more difficult before everybody started using cell phones and we were transmitting data, through routers. But, we're not any different. We are just another country with another leader that if you can take them down, you can have the run of the place. So, I think that's right. You're very astute in saying that we are in some extremely dangerous times. And the film that you referenced, Lies of Omission, everybody who talks, like Mike Vandenberg, who died, I think, in July. But we did the interview on January 16th of last year, and he was warning everybody, this is happening. This is how it goes. This is how they do it. And they're getting closer every day.
Yeah, they are. Now, and as we look at the landscape, I'm very uncomfortable with what I'm seeing. And I'm seeing hearing the tempo rising. I'm seeing the marching get faster. I'm seeing the people on television, the liars that comprise the mainstream media just, they're running for cover, or I shouldn't say running for cover. They're dragging everything out, to try to cover themselves based on their lies of, well, to coin a phrase from your film, lies of omission. And we're seeing a lot of lies of omission. By the way, our guest, that's his, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the, Lies of Omission, screen there. And, the fundraiser for the, production of that. But yes, and by the way, I want to mention one more thing and then I'll just turn it back to you. Folks, you gotta pray for the conservative commentators, the conservative people like Lou Dobbs. If you noticed him last night, guy was exhausted. I'm exhausted. We're all exhausted on this side of the fence. And it's because we are attempting to do the right thing, as is our guest, Mr. Davis, trying to get the truth out there amidst all of this barrage of lies by commission and, of course, his film, Lies of Omission. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, that's, if you look at your society today, honestly, that's what you're seeing. Is this the accumulation of decades, perhaps a century of lies of omission, where you have down in Guatemala, they had the New York Times reporter was down there, and he sniffed around. He knew that things were about to go south, and he was trying very hard to keep them from going south, and it took nothing to have Alan Dulles make a phone call to the guy at the New York Times and have him yanked back to Mexico, and that's where he stayed. And after all these years, I was looking up Grusin, which was the guy, the reporter's name, and the one thing he left that he was still extremely angry with, and I can't think of the guy who owned the New York Times back then, but it's on the tip of my tongue, but the one thing he was still angry about after all of these years before, when he retired, was the fact that he got yanked out of Guatemala, and he knew it was through the CIA, and he knew it was to keep his mouth shut so that news of what was going on down there wouldn't leak out. And so almost everything in your world is a product of the fact that either you've been lied to or you haven't been told the truth, and they're almost exactly the same thing. I would say that lies of omission are more dangerous, because a direct lie, you can refute a direct lie, but you can't refute something that's never been reported that nobody knows about. And one of the reasons for us, and it's not just me doing it, I have a co-executive producer as well, Concerned American over at WRSA, Western Rifle Shooters Association. But the one thing that we look at is that here are the voices shouting, but they can't get past the newspaper. They can't get past the broadcast. They can't get anywhere. Cheryl Atkinson destroyed her career. I mean, she landed on her feet, but she destroyed her career by doing something they didn't want done. And so the idea of the film is to go talk to some of these people who aren't from think tanks, who aren't from typical establishment Republicans, and get their angle, because they have no dog in the fight except the truth and self-defense. And talk to them and just ask them random questions and see what they come up with. And it was remarkable that you can have somebody like Larry Pratt, who with Gun Owners of America, basically largely, you know, a lobbyist establishment type guy, had almost exactly the same feelings as some of the furthest right folks that we talked to. So, you know, it isn't like we don't know what's going on. It isn't like everybody doesn't see what's happening. But it just cannot penetrate out into the deal. So the idea for the film was, let's get these voices down, and then we have a weapon at least. Because if a film is successful and people want to see it, there's no way to stop that.
All right. What are some of the things you're focusing on? Just give us some examples. I could think of a number of things going back to, with Obama, from his lack of bona fides to the gun running operation Fast and Furious. Just so many things to the targeting of conservatives via using the IRS to target conservatives, conservative groups. Of course, we saw that. What are some of the things that you're looking at, subject matter?
Well, a lot of what the film is discussing is American freedom in general. What's happened to it? What was it? What happened to it? And how can we ever get it back? And the answer to the last question is dire, to say the least.
Yeah.
So, but we did focus on Fast and Furious as a classic example, with David Kodria and Mike Vanderboeck, who broke this story, broke it for months. I was reading about it months before anybody got involved in it. They were both putting it on their web pages. They were talking. It wasn't until Brian Terry was killed that it really sort of popped up there, because guns from the ATF gun running operation was found at the crime scene of where Brian Terry was murdered. And but they had been yelling about it for a while. They called it Gunwalker, and that's what everybody in the liberty community was familiar with. And it became Fast and Furious because that's what ATF's code name for their little project down there was. And so we kind of focused on that as an example of how, no matter what you do, if you cannot break the golden bond between the major media outlets and the truth, if you can't get the truth through them, it's almost impossible. And it took Cheryl Atkinson being a stand-up reporter and just doing her job to get it out there, ultimately to CBS. But she couldn't even get any airtime. So, you know,
No, no, just
really
to refresh
very
people's,
difficult.
Yeah, to refresh people's memory, Cheryl Atkinson was the one who had her computers broken into, right? Benghazi, she was investigating Benghazi, CBS correspondent or reporter, I believe, right? Am I right?
Right, definitely.
Okay, all right.
Yep, 100%. Yeah, she has her computer hacked. Yeah, Stonewalled.
Yeah. That's right.
And Stonewalled is the only one of the few books, and I'm not going to say the only one, but one of the few books, and one of the only really successful books that actually gives David Kodria and Mike Vanderbilt their the legitimate credit that they deserve. They were Woodward and Bernstein times 10 because they didn't have anybody backing them up, you know.
Yep. I've got Stonewalled on my nightstand. I just am reading it for the second time. Very interesting book. Yeah. And she does give the credit. But we have to understand too, and she points this out as well. The ATF gun walking scandal known as Fast and Furious, a smaller version, a smaller version was started under George W. Bush, out of the Arizona field office of the ATFE. But nonetheless, it was expanded. It was expanded under Obama. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com is our website. Hagman and Hagman for the show website. Resurrecting under a new banner, of course, HomelandSecurityUS.com. And follow us on our social networking. And please, if you're listening to this, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Even if you're listening to this via BTR. And Global Star Radio Network. Thank you so much, Global Star Radio Network, for carrying our program and BTR as well. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Hagman Report. Our guest, T.L. Davis. We'll be right back after this. Stay right where you're at.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Week Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. There's a lot going on in the world of news. You have, you know, the continuing information about the Trump wiretap and the insanity that has been going on in the media since then, as well as the Vault 7 CIA leaks. And you have more insanity from the news coming out about that. There's some really good stuff on Drudge on the right-hand side. It gets into some detail about what these documents talk about, and then you can go right to WikiLeaks if you want to download the file yourself. But they're saying more significant than the Snowden docs. And a lot of this confirms of things that we already knew, but the proof is in there. This segment, we are still joined by our guest, T.L. Davis. ChristianMercenary.com is the website. As well as he has a fundraiser site for Lies of Omission, that is fundraiser, fundraiser.com/Lies of Omission and the number one, and that's his film Lies of Omission. We have a trailer that we're going to play for you from Mr. Davis's film. So here you go.
If you could speak directly to the younger generation, What is it about America, about the America of your childhood, that is worth saving?
Well, the first thing I'd say is I would quote Leon Trotsky, who said famously that you may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you.
I think just the idea of freedom, the idea that you can exist outside of being a subject of a government. We're going to lose our freedom, and I don't think that your generation is even going to be paying attention.
There are many, many people who foresaw World War II. It was obvious to everyone. Obvious to everyone except the people who mostly ended up being victimized by it. Because they believed that the world that they grew up in was going to maintain itself forever. That they were always going to live in a country with certain rules and that no one would violate those rules. That's the position you're in now, all right? You don't want a war.
If I could just not see what's really happening in the world, if I didn't know what was in the news, if I didn't know what was going on behind the walls of the NSA or the CIA or the FBI or the IRS or the ATF, I could be so happy.
I'm just curious, and that makes me think that, so news anchors or like people that go interview politicians then just do monkey wrenching to make them sound like an idiot.
Although unfortunately an awful lot of news anchors do monkey wrenching to make politicians sound better.
Freedom is something that you think is like the air. It's like a birthright. Like I turn the water tap and water comes out. I flip the switch, a light comes on, and I'm an American, so I'm free. Why should your generation be expected to care about freedom when you're not taught it? Why should you think about freedom?
To us as individuals to take action. We can't just say we voted for the right person, we gave money to the right group, we wrote a letter to the editor, and we're done. It's up to us, if we really care about something, to take action, to try to fix it.
And that was the Mr. Davis's trailer for Lies of Omission. Welcome back, Mr. Davis.
No, thank you.
Before we continue, can you get into the film a little bit? And the Lies of Omission title, you spoke about that in the last segment. Can you explain that a little bit more, some of what you found out while making this film?
Well, some of what started the title, what kind of inspired the title was, the director, my daughter, had gone to Sundance and watched the film Under the Gun by Katie Couric. And she's not as indoctrinated as I am. She's not as steadfast. She was more appalled by the film in the first 5 minutes at the lousy editing job they did. Because she's the director. She's the real talent behind this. Myself and CA at WRSA have the contacts, but she's like the real creative talent. And she was appalled because of that. And that sort of got the idea is that, you know, these are lies of omission. But then when you look at it, it goes so much deeper than just the media. You know, it's what they do that they don't tell you, that, and it sparks conspiracy theories. And unfortunately, most of the conspiracies are right. Because they're really doing it. And so, I'm not sure if I answered your question there.
And you know, you see the growth of the government, and the government expanding and branching out into all areas of society, and they just continue to say they're gonna, you know, do this and that to help the people, but they're really only out to help themselves, and the only thing they help with us is help take away money from our paychecks.
Well, exactly, and you know, it's like today with the revelation of the new Obamacare light, or however you want to look at it. The fact is, the only thing government has ever needed to do to solve problems is to get out of the situation. Now, there's some things that obviously a government is good for doing, but for the most part, if they would extricate themselves, things would get better. But you have people in office who, they're all running basically the same scam. You know, give me money so that I can go there and I'll carry the torch for you. And they go there and they drop the torch and they start working for themselves. And I don't know that, as we've said, there has been said many times, this is not a government designed for people who don't take their oath seriously, who when they swear to God, it means nothing to them. And it really doesn't work without that oath. Because otherwise you're just, everybody's at the trough. Nobody cares what they said. I don't know about anybody else, but when I was in the Air Force, when I put my hand up, I probably didn't think about it too much. I just kind of recited the words. But when I saw the country being yanked around, and the Patriot Act was a big one, you know, Ruby Ridge was a big one, Waco's a huge one, all of these little things that are telling me that you swore an oath to defend something that they're obviously and clearly violating. And you have an obligation, and that's where the film comes in. Because every individual that we interviewed felt exactly the same way. They don't have any money. They're not making money from having the opinions that they do. You know, right. They care about this country, and they care about the Constitution. And they can see that what they're doing with our country, in the name of our country, with our dollars, is absolutely horrendous. It's disgusting. So, everybody sort of had a stake in it. Go ahead.
Looking at the landscape of our country right now, and I'm very serious when I'm saying that, you know, this is a fight. I believe that this is the most perilous time our country has faced, and at least in this generation, if not for the past, I don't know, for the past century, maybe. When I say perilous, it's not caused by President Trump. It's being caused by the deep state, by the progressive communist element. And, you know, the only, by the way, and I just want to interject one thing. The only thing I disagreed with the, President Donald Trump's tweet about was the use of the word McCarthyism. McCarthy was 100% accurate. People didn't like his delivery. He was a flawed character, to be sure, but McCarthy was accurate about the communist infiltration in this country. But having said all of that, looking at the landscape, my question to you, Mr. Davis, is looking at the landscape. Actually, I got two questions. One that's got to do with the title of your website, Christian Mercenary. But the first question is, well, what do you see as the biggest threat to our country right now? And the second question about the title is, how'd you come up with the title, and why did you come up with the title Christian Mercenary? And you can answer those in any order you want to.
Well, the biggest threat I see to this country are the people running it and the people who were running it. I mean, we see now very clearly, too clearly, that there is no, I wrote this in the blog, and I'll explain that title in a minute, but one of the things I wrote in a post not too long ago was, you know, forget about it. Don't even look at these guys as Republicans or Democrats. I mean, that's archaic. It's gone. It's nonsense now. You either have people who are interested in globalism and the deep state, or you have people who are interested in personal liberty and the normal Republican type functioning of the government. Those are the only two you really got. And trust me, there. And I'm sure you know. I mean, I'm not telling you anything, but the latter is the less populated side. Almost everybody either recognizes the power that they can gain from the deep state, or they're terrified of the power they have, and so they react the same. And as far as I think the obviously the most dangerous thing to this country are the people leading it, because they don't stand for it. They don't stand for anything. And I'm not talking about everybody, because there's a couple. Representative Steve King out of Iowa, I think, is probably one of the most stand-up dudes I've ever encountered in my life. And then for as far as the blog goes, Christian Mercenary is, it comes off of the title banner, basically says that liberty is a God-given right, and it's our duty, I'm paraphrasing, but it's our duty to defend it. Because the way I look at it is this. If you're a Christian, then I think you could, or at least I recognize, that the second gift that God gave to man beyond life itself was the liberty to decide whether to follow or not. So to me, liberty is like right after the breath of life, liberty was the next gift. And to not cherish that, to not be willing to become one of God's mercenaries. And people say, well, you can't be a mercenary because they get paid to kill people. Well, you can be a mercenary for anything you want to, because you're not necessarily following, you know, the society itself. You become a mercenary for a cause. And it's a little bit contradictory, but it kind of gets a point across that I was trying to make. So.
Yeah, and I think, believe me, it's to me, being a Christian does not require one to be passive. And certainly, I don't agree with Christians who say, well, we must be passive as Christians. I believe, and this is my belief, and people are welcome to believe whatever they want to believe, but I believe that we have not just the right, but the duty to stand up and to protect our faith, to protect our families. And so I don't have a problem with the name. I just know some of the blowback that people will see that and say, oh my goodness, you know, that's horrible. That's like ISIS talk. And, you know, come on. we're not like that. So anyway, yeah, I want to clear that up. Because
I do get that. What I usually get from that is, when people bring it up, is usually that, they start quoting the one we're supposed to obey our leaders because God put them in place. That's what I usually get back.
Yeah.
And I say, well, that's fine, except we hijacked the system by voting. You know? I mean, he was putting keys in place.
That's an interesting thing.
You
know? Right. I agree with you on that. I do. Well, okay, so you did say a lot here in terms of where we're at, and I think, you know, with the breaking news of today, well, let me, the natural question, I suppose, what do you think of the last several months when we had, I mean, the last several months, you have to admit, was a roller coaster of news and events, and it's like, my goodness, you go from an Obama regime to a almost certain Hillary win to the ascendancy of Donald Trump to the presidency, and then you've got all this other stuff. I mean, wow, there's no shortage of anything to talk about. I guess. I'm not sure of the question I was going to ask you, but
well, yeah. I think I see what you're getting at, and one of the things is what you're seeing now, because like you say, it was a roller coaster. But I'm going to tell you, I honestly believe that a lot of the reason we're seeing the problems that we're seeing now is because everybody was so sure that Hillary Clinton was going to get elected and clean up Obama's mess, or at least keep it under wraps. When Donald Trump walked in and they had nothing on him, and he was not an apparatchik, I think it scared him to death. And I'm sure it did. And the more that he pursues, but what I'm also going to say though is I think that he has to look into some of the things that they swept under the rug to expose them for who they are. And one of them, I would like it to be Fast and Furious, just because I think if you're, and you know, whether it started under Bush or not, there was enough things that went on under Bush that I haven't been a fan for a while, you know. But anyway, the point is, if you can condone as a government that idea of you don't care how many people get killed, as long as you bump up those, you make a case. And here's the thing, you can tell why it comes from Rahm Emanuel. Because he's using exactly the same logic today to defend himself with the death count in Chicago. What does he say? Well, it's the lax gun laws in Indiana. Isn't that exactly the same logic that fueled the idea of Fast and Furious? Same thing.
And you know what, Mr. Davis, go ahead and give us a kind of a Cliff Notes version of the architecture of Fast and Furious and the reasoning behind it, because I do think you make a great point here. Rahm Emanuel, death count in Chicago, body count, it's horrendous, as you know, President Trump says, it's a disaster. Give us a little bit of a primer on Fast and Furious, because it's still used as a template today, and I think you're absolutely 100% right.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Well, obviously, someone like David Kodria would probably be a fantastic guest because he really knows the ins and outs of it. But the idea was, and this is apparent in the film, the idea was if we push guns down south of the border, and we can prove that the guns being used in the murders in Mexico are coming from the United States, we can make a case for toughening our gun laws so that that will stop happening. Brilliant. except that it cost, and they say a thousand, thousands of lives. I don't know. They found those guns in, I think, France, at one of those terrorist attacks.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows?
Yep.
Who knows how far it actually went, or how many people actually died of it? All I know is it's a heck of a lot to make a point, to make a political point. And
that's right.
That's one of the things that they really take. You know, several people do. Matt Bracken's in the film. Claire Wolf's in the film. Larry Pratt's in the film, and they all eventually kind of come around it. I don't think Claire maybe, but most of them come around to that point of view, is that to make a political point, to pad statistics, I mean, that is a Marxist mindset that is absolutely terrifying, you know.
Yeah. Now let me go back to something you said too, about President Trump, because this is so germane, I believe, to what's taking place today. The fact that he's got to clean up, or he's got to expose what Hillary was expected to maintain a veil over. I do believe that's a requirement. If he doesn't do that, his time will be short. And I certainly don't want to see that.
Well, one thing he has to do is get them off balance. You know, I mean, he did it with the leak, but I mean, he needs to keep them off. He needs to get them looking over their shoulders so that they don't have time to prosecute the rest of their dirty plans. You know,
I agree. And that's an astute observation on your part, I believe. Looking at this, he's going to have to really do some things to expose some of the machinations of the Obama regime, what Obama has done. If, you know, whether it's Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the wiretapping, the IRS scandal, I mean, you name it. There's so much. But the Marxist push, what do you think, and I know we're kind of straying off topic here, but what do you think about Obama hanging back, shacking up with Valerie Jarrett, organizing for action? What do you think, what's going on there? What's going on?
Well, I don't have any specific intelligence on anything, except that I do know when things don't look right. And part of his actions in the past months before he got out of office, by trying to bring as many illegals in as he could, by trying to bring as many Syrians in as he could, by trying to release, I mean, how many pardons did he write? I don't even know. It was an insane amount.
Yeah.
And then the actions that he's taken, then you're looking at it and you're thinking, if he's not planning some sort of coup, these actions don't make any sense. I mean, you're importing your army, your fighters, your battle toughened guys. What for? Me? I'm not that big a threat, you know? So it has to be for another purpose. And I like to, you know, withhold judgment until I know something. And I'll willingly tell you, I don't know anything here. I'm just saying that it looks very suspicious for a former president to not just go play golf and build his library and get fat. You know, I don't know. This looks
Bush is out there painting portraits, and you got Carter building houses still. Yeah,
yeah.
Clinton out there enjoying the high life on monkey business in Bimini. But yes, but you got Obama working.
Sure.
Yeah.
Then you got Obama doing more work now than he did when he was in the Oval Office. He has to have something in mind, and here's part of it. If Donald Trump is in a perilous position, because either he goes at them hard and gets them to backpedal, or they will come after him. He's just not in a good position. Because he has to do one or the other. If he goes slow, they'll tear him apart. If he goes fast, he'll accelerate the pace. So the only thing that he can count on is that I recognize, and I think a lot of people do, that this is a battle for this country. We're either going to be Marxist, or we're going to regain some semblance of freedom. But it's going to come through this issue.
Well said. And you're right. We are at a turning point here, a hinge moment in history, where if people don't step up, there won't be anything left to step up to. It's going to be the decisions will be made for us. We got about 2 minutes left. Wow, this went quick. Our guest, T.L. Davis, the floor is yours. Next 2 minutes.
I would just like to encourage people to come to the site and donate some money so that, because we need to finish this film. We're in post-production now, but that's really where all the money is, because you can't get somebody else to do it. He'll do it for gratis. because we can't go in to the average sources for film funding. Nobody wants anything to do with a conservative documentary. And so we've gone through the fundraiser side. It's been successful. We've gotten the footage that we needed. We've traveled all over the country to get it. But the only way these voices are going to get out is if we do it, because nobody's going to give us a hand. So I would encourage them to help me get these voices out to the public.
And that's about it. When's your release date on this? I mean, the release date. Yeah, go ahead.
We're trying for June. That's what we're really looking for. Right now, we're kind of hung up. We need to buy some stock footage, and it's like $150 for a picture of Isakov, for heaven's sakes, you know.
I know.
So that's where we really need, you know. But if we can get the funding and we start getting this together, we're hoping we'll have it together by June, and then and we're trying real hard to stick to that. It's just we're falling a little bit further behind all the time. So.
All right. Well, they're
although they have been very generous. Don't let me sound like nobody's helped, because they really have. You know.
Well, right, and you know, people are willing to contribute and build conservative causes to preserve the Republic. And this is interesting. This is good. Lies of Omission. That's the working title of the film, and of course, Teal Davis. You can just go to HagmanReport.com, and the links are there. Mr. Davis, I want to thank you so much for your time tonight. What a great interview. What a patriot. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for giving me a platform. That's very important to us.
Well, we're going to be in touch. Keep us posted on this. All right.
Sure. We'll do. All right. Thank you.
That was T.L. Davis of ChristianMercenary.com. Coming up next, we have William Ramsey. He's a returning guest, and we're going to be talking about a number of things. It's going to be a great interview, and his website is occultinvestigations.com. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these short messages. You're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bing, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress? Some of the bigger companies out there, would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can, it's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits what we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, Trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.